College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons. Heading into the 3 o'clock hour, no Fitzy today, Dan Ball in, and now Ted Johnson.
What's up, boys?
Looking like maybe he's ready for a fight in Roadhouse, or I don't know exactly what. I have fears.
Yeah?
Because he told us that sometimes the shirts tell the story of the mood he's in, and if they're like light and flowery, good mood, he's ready to go. What if they don't have sleeves and he's flexing?
Nobody puts Teddy in a corner.
Nobody. Just tell him. I like that this just provokes these kinds of reactions out of you guys.
It's not often that you do a radio show with a guy who comes in on a Harley with no sleeves on.
You know what? It's kind of a badass way to come into work, right?
How was the ride in? Was it nice on
Perfect.
The bike?
Awesome. Yeah. Amazing. You know?
I mean, you're running out of those days.
It's Storrow Drive. You just got to make sure. You know, I come westbound, right? So you're kind of, you got to make sure there's a lot of things to look at. And you got to make sure that you got keep your eyes on
focus.
The road.
Beautiful water, beautiful buildings.
Beautiful, yeah, that's what he was talking about. The water, the buildings,
beautiful
everything that trees.
Water. In about 2 weeks, it'll be really fun to look out at that water.
You know? All right, it is 3 o'clock. That means it's time for our 3-point stance.
319.
319.
319.
Yeah, there you go.
What's that?
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you're just intimidating the bejesus out of your coworkers, you got to get Glassman. Call Hall 7s at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Our order today is Andy Hart, then myself, Dan Ball, and then Ted Johnson. Andy, you get 60 seconds that will be reinforced by Ted and his muscle today. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right, here you go.
So yesterday, when I did my 3-point stance, I didn't know it'd be a two-parter, but here we are. I said, watch the game, respect the game. I knew a lot of Patriots weren't going to play, but a lot of guys would be playing for jobs and memories and tape and all those things. What I didn't know is there was one person in particular that would take the spotlight and run with it. That was wide receiver Jeremiah Webb. Listen to his post-game reaction after the performance he put on last night.
A lot of fun, man. Like I said, man, I'm living out the dream. The odds that I done had to beat to get to where I am now, man, they've been slim to none. So just finally being able to get here and, like I say, show those where I come from that we could do this, man, I'm having a blast.
Jeremiah Webb had a nice touchdown late in the game. He had a long punt return. He was the guy I was talking about, even though I didn't know it was going to be him. Comes from Chicago, talking about proving to the neighborhood and the family and the people that we can make it. If you watched that on Patriots.com, huge smile when he's telling that story. Did a Lambeau leap after scoring the touchdown. Those are the guys that I'm talking about. Sure, it's great if you're a Giants fan. You had freaking Jackson Dart out there, and Jameis Winston, hell, was like your third-string quarterback. You got a 5,000-yard passer. But that third preseason game, that second half, Jeremiah Webb is the poster boy, the face of what I was talking about yesterday. That's a cool moment that he'll remember forever, even if he never plays in another NFL game. That's what last night was about.
I have one quick question, and then we can move to the topic. And you could—it's okay if you say yes. Do you like Jackson Dart more because it's one consonant away from Jackson Hart?
A little bit.
Okay,
it's kind of weird.
Yes,
it's like confusing in a way, and but yeah, it's interesting.
Okay.
Although hey dummy, you're the future of the franchise. What are you doing there? Now you're in the tent, and that whole quarterback situation for them, like, so they sit their starter, Russell Wilson,
sure,
who's a holdover.
Yeah.
They have a first-round pick that they roll out there.
We had a pretty good preseason.
Then they roll out a guy who threw for 5,000 yards a couple years ago. Then they throw out a guy who was the biggest name in football for like a week, right?
Yeah. Tommy Cutlass.
Tommy Cutlass.
Beat the Packers. I'll never forget it.
Did you hear what Will Fleming was saying about Jackson Dart's mom?
And you can't take your eyes off his mom.
That's what Will Fleming was saying.
Apparently,
about
Will had
mom.
The dual screens going on. He was watching the Patriots game while calling the game from Yankee Stadium.
When in New York, I guess.
But yeah, the Jeremiah Webb thing, like, that's just cool.
Yeah. Love him.
Like, he was so excited after that game.
Can I say he's my guy? He's my guy.
Sure.
It's the guy I've been telling you about.
Love him. I mean, he's got no shot to make the roster.
You go look at him and go, he looks like a small, undersized third down back.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a receiver.
Right.
Yet he makes a ton of plays. So he was six catches, 80 yards, a touchdown, averaging 3.3 yards per catch is his production in the preseason, and he hardly played. So he might not have a role on this team, but he's going to get another opportunity.
Hope so.
Very soon if he is not. My guess is he'll be offered a shot on the practice squad, and that's probably the best he'll do right now. But my guess is there'll be a day when he actually plays in an NFL game.
Hope so. Rooting for him. I will also say the number doesn't do him any favors.
It throws him off.
You look like a running back.
Like you said,
third down. And you're like, wait, this guy's a wide receiver, and then he's going under catches. Yeah. So, but yeah, that was kind of cool.
By the way, to work yourself onto an NFL radar, 3 years at South Dakota and two at South Alabama.
Yeah.
Not
awesome.
Necessarily your football hotbeds.
And also seeing like the northern part of the country, the southern part of the country.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Wherever. He'll go wherever.
If you're a coach, does that matter to you?
No.
Doesn't matter where
he played? Wait, in a good way. Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter where he played?
No. I don't know if this is what you're at. It's a good thing to me. That's a guy. Because you often.
Is it a good thing?
Yes.
Ted, do you want to ask that question again?
Yeah,
does it matter?
Well, I thought he was saying, oh, he didn't play at USC, so he's not in the SEC. He didn't have good.
Nope,
no, it's the opposite. I think he loves football.
It's when you see a guy kind of bouncing around, you go, okay, well, what's wrong? He's bouncing around. Well, it also shows a guy that cares enough to want to pursue football that he will go wherever he's got to go to play.
From Chicago up north to the Dakotas, then back down south to Alabama to New England, and I guarantee if you called him, if he gets cut and Ted Johnson was the Seahawks director of player personnel and said, I need you here in 5 minutes, he'd be there in five minutes.
Yep.
That's how he's wired.
Yep.
100%. So interesting. We'll keep a loose eye on him and see what he becomes, because you never know. All right, Stiz, may I have 60 seconds, please?
Your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right, so Teddy and I are kind of aligned on where we want to go for our three-point stances. So I will start by introducing you to a guy who you may not know, and even if he did come to New England, you may not love, but I would identify as a massive upgrade over what the Patriots currently have at the left guard position. That is Dalton Risner, coming from the Minnesota Vikings, began his career with four seasons, played and started every game that he played with the Denver Broncos through 2022. Didn't have quite as much success in Minnesota, but was still a consistent starter up until injury last season. He is a free agent. He's visited with the Bengals. He's visited with the Seahawks. I see no reason why he shouldn't be visiting with the New England Patriots, and why, if you can get him in the building, I wouldn't necessarily want him to leave. He was graded as the 13th best pass blocking guard last season. Overall, again, his overall grade isn't fantastic, but I look at a left tackle that can run block really well and Will Campbell. If you can create a left side of your offensive line that has one guy that's strong in the run block and one guy that's strong in the pass blocking game, I think it would be an upgrade, especially when you compare it to the current plan of Wilson and Strange and Wallace and Bradbury. Those are the guys that haven't been cut yet. So compared to what you currently have at what is, for my money, the biggest hole on the offensive line, I think you got to give Dalton Risner a call, and I would see what you could do to keep him here for the season.
I'd sign off on that.
Smell that? Smells like desperation.
Well, I mean, yeah. Look at what you got. That's no disrespect to the guys that are there. I know you told Cole Strange a month ago that he was at a career crossroads, but you also, as much as we made fun of you, as much as we made fun of you for saying it, looking up and saying it to his face, you also weren't wrong in your thinking, and that's one of the better options, I say, with a question mark right now.
Right.
So I would absolutely be looking outside the building for help there.
And this is also something that is very common in football. I've often sort of disrespectfully joked over the years, you can always find a guard, because it seems like there's these teams that you watch a game and they're like, oh, they signed so-and-so on August 27th, and now he's started for three straight years at guard. Yeah. And he's been there like, guards get kind of lost in the shuffle sometimes, or disrespected, or, I mean, Joe Andruzzi back in your day just showed up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden Joe Andruzzi becomes a star.
Steven
as
Neal,
a guard.
You know,
like,
was wrestling before he became guard.
So normally I would say, oh, the guy's on the street for a reason, but guards sometimes go from the street to solid contributors to offensive lines for a reason, too.
Right.
And beggars can't be choosers.
That would be my argument. But, Ted, what do you think? Compared to what's in the building right now.
Yeah, I would be all for it because I think that left – it is an interesting – it's not like – say you needed a right guard. You don't. You got Mike Onwenu. It sounds like listening to him with his interview in the midday show today, which was cool – you know, he's playing right guard. He's not moving.
Right.
Because he didn't like being moved from right to left to tackle. So he's all right. It, now that you have a rookie left tackle and a young quarterback, it's like the left guard feels more important than what the right guard. I wish Mike Onwenu was playing left guard.
Yeah.
So now you got him playing next to a rookie who's playing next to a center who's his first time with a young quarterback. It just I would feel better. The fact that your left guard is an issue when you have a rookie left tackle, it kind of makes that position a little bit hairier. So absolutely, I would be. I think my feeling is, I liked Ben Brown's play in the second preseason game against the Giants. I mean, against the Vikings. So I think they're going to play Brent Brown, start him at left guard to start the season. If he stays there all season, I'd be shocked, but I think that's how they're going to start the season.
Okay, and that's an option, but kind of to your point, I'm just...
Did you hear how he said, and that's an option?
You know, it doesn't get you excited. I don't know.
It doesn't blow my skirt up, Ted. I'm sorry.
It does not blow your skirt up. I get it. But I think he's a better option than Jared Wilson.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, for a guy that's barely played left guard, I would absolutely agree with that. Yep. Or played in the league at all to this point.
I think ideally... Jared Wilson should probably be your center.
100%. All along, I've wanted this to somehow work out so Jared Wilson's your center, preferably between a couple veteran guards, and we're starting to paint a picture that might work.
But what's the problem with starting Jared Wilson at center right now?
His confidence, communication, McDaniel's system,
boom,
that
all
whole
of it.
Thing.
It just, it's the most advanced, it's one of the more advanced systems you have, and now you have a quarterback that's trying to learn it with a center that just got here. That's way too much to have in that situation.
And you argued as well. He was having trouble just snapping the ball at the beginning. But
there was some of that.
The one thing that kind of surprised me with all of that, I know they brought in Bradbury to be the center, but you had a whole camp to try to at least work on it a little bit for a guy whose natural position is center. You drafted the highest natural center in the draft to then move him to left guard immediately. Yeah. Like, why the impatience on an offensive line that seems to have one guy that's set and then four spots that were at least competitions to start?
What are they paying Bradbury? Is it enough to – that might have something to do with it. I'm just – you know,
It could.
Garrett Bradbury's contract. If it's a lot of money, they're probably like, well, shoot, we just signed this guy.
Yeah, I don't think it's a ton.
I'll give you 2 year, $9.5 million.
Yeah.
What do you get, guaranteed at signing?
He got guaranteed at signing $3.8 million.
Hey, you're not going to cut a guy.
No. He's on the team.
So he's on the team.
Absolutely.
Right. So he's playing.
He's on the team, and he's probably playing. And based on his experience and everything, he's probably theoretically one of your best five when you talk about experience and system. And the other thing with Jared Wilson is he only played 12 games in college, so there's relative inexperience there.
Sure.
And everything I've heard about them, not that this is a negative the other way, but everything I've heard is they love his athleticism. Everything is about his physical traits, his athleticism. I didn't hear smartest guy we've ever seen at a center. You know what I mean? So maybe that's an evolutionary thing where he needs to develop in McDaniel's system and learn the system. It can be difficult and all of that. So it's also, we saw the Mike Reese stat. Two guys on the same side, rookies, is once every 25 years, and it might not even be a good idea once every 25 years.
That's why originally I argued you go Campbell, Bradbury, Wilson, Onwenu, Moses. So you have the veteran in between the two rookies. But they didn't want to listen, and what the hell do I know?
bet you that'd be one of the smaller offensive lines in the NFL.
Athletic.
It'd be athletic. Sure would. But
you're running fast as they run right by you. All right, Teddy, you ready to go?
I'm ready, man.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go right ahead.
So a lot of talk about the offensive line. Obviously, the offensive line, to me, it's the make-or-break position group for the Patriots this year. If they will have success on offense, if the offensive line can hold up. And so far in training camp, it hasn't showed that it can. I was curious to see how the Patriots kind of draft that position, offensive line. over a 10-year period. And so I looked it up, and the Patriots drafted in the last 10 years, and I asked all you guys this question yesterday, what you thought, and I thought it would be a higher number. They've only drafted 9 guys in the last 10 years to play offensive line, all the positions on offensive line. Only 9 guys, and there was 3 years out of 10 where they didn't draft a lineman at all. And so that is on the low end of the NFL. In fact, by a huge margin, the Patriots draft a lineman on average 0.8 average lineman per draft per year, when the average NFL team is drafting linemen at 1.4, 1.5 a year. And so theoretically, my overall point is the Patriots should have 4 or 5 linemen on this that they've picked in drafts in the last 10 years that they never did. And that's partly the problem you see with this offensive line. They don't put emphasis in it. They haven't. And when they have missed big time.
Yeah, I mean, the only guy that was picked, counting back to 2019 and on, the only guy that was picked above the 3rd round was Strange. And that was a guy, as Sean McVay reacted, was supposed to be a 4th round pick. So you're also, even when you are picking him, you're not using any significant draft capital on him except for Cole Strange, which was, again, strange in of itself.
It's just so not even – they don't even average drafting 1 lineman a year. And that's, to me, is ridiculous when you consider how bad it's been a problem here for years. When you have a young quarterback, to me, invest in the offensive line. It's the best thing you can do. Look what it's done, you know, for my man up there in Philadelphia. It's a huge thing to have an offensive line to go along with your young quarterback.
So what is that? Is it hubris? Like, I can sign a guy off the scrap heap and make him better than any draft pick that I would make? Or is it just, if I don't want to use ignorance because that seems strong?
I mean,
but
it's philosophy. I mean, Dan Campbell believes in offensive line. Clearly, you know, Howie Roseman believes in an offensive line. Clearly, like there's some people that philosophically, if I was a head coach, that would be, you would know philosophically that Ted Johnson believes in having a dominating, nasty, big, massive, productive offensive line. That would be a core principle of mine. Some teams make it a priority. Some teams don't. I don't know why.
I wonder if this is a shift, though, because they did take an offensive lineman with the 4th overall pick this year, right? And then they took a 3rd round pick, so maybe this is a Mike Vrabel-led. He also is a former linebacker who probably believes in physicality in the trenches and some of those things. Also rode the running game in Tennessee with Derrick Henry and what they did down there. Took Taylor Lewan and others relatively high in the draft there with mixed success.
Sure,
they had that one guy they drafted in the 1st round that was a bust. I don't think he ever played in a single game for him.
Right, which is obviously going to be part of those are the perils. You're going to run into that.
Sure.
But I'd rather you overdraft to try to fill a need to show me that you're trying to fill a need. Because, Ted, to your point, you show me a good offensive line, I'm probably showing you a good offense in return more times than not. Yeah. Look at Houston. Year one of C.J. Stroud, he's fantastic. Year two, they can't protect him. I think he led the league in sacks or was close. And they're a shell of what they were. So it seems pretty A to B simplistic to me.
And also just look at, so Jim Harbaugh clearly believes in the offensive line. He already had a franchise tackle, and he took another franchise tackle with the 6th pick or whatever it was. Why? Probably in part because, I don't know, he's got Justin Herbert. He figures if he's going to pay him a boatload of money, he might as well protect him. Or look at the Bears. Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson is a, like, maniacal play caller guy, right? Schemer.
Yep.
First thing he does in Chicago is says, whoa, 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 we need a better offensive line if I'm going to be able to call any plays or draw any plays up or have any success. So some of the highly thought of coaches right now are clearly putting a lot of focus on the offensive line elsewhere. And the Patriots, again, the Patriots might be in that. If we include Jared Wilson in the 3rd round and the 4th overall pick, Will Campbell, maybe we've turned a corner here, and that's what Mike Vrabel's
New philosophy, hopefully.
Yeah. Mike Vrabel's Patriots believe in. Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Dan Ball, nice job with the triple duty today or whatever it is, doing the three-point stand.
Just a day in the office, fellas.
Big chair filling in for Fitzy. And up next, we'll continue to break down that preseason finale for the Patriots. Mike Vrabel was not happy with the way his team performed. We'll look at the matchups, if that had anything to do.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do with it. Maybe their ones stopped playing twos, and maybe it was twos versus twos and threes versus threes, and maybe that's part of why they struggled. But the head coach wasn't all that happy. We also have some interesting veterans with some interesting reps. What does it all mean? We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.